The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. So it's happening. It's going to happen. They took palm branches out and went to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." And at first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." And Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Well, praise God that he went all the way to Calvary for you and for me, that we might know life and life eternal in his name. Well, I wonder who the most famous person in the world you have met is. So I won't ask for answers on that. Just be thinking for a moment. Did you meet them by accident? It happens. Or were you there in a certain place? Did you queue up for a long time to see them? You know, often we warn against following the crowds, don't we? And rightfully so. But obviously on Palm Sunday, I'm encouraging you to join the crowd. Follow the crowd. Look through the crowd. Look and see what they can see. Look upon our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, these days, as I say, people, they'll set up a tent, they'll camp if there's a big film being released and the stars of the film will be on the red carpet. They'll know where to go. Sporting heroes. Again, there are those who spend their life wandering around, in the afterglow of such people. I told you before, but recently I was down at near the Holiday Inn, down at the airport on that little bit outside, when suddenly the manager of Brighton Hove Albion jumped off a coach right in front of me. And I kind of looked at him and thought, I know him. Where do I know him from? He looked straight through me. He didn't know me at all. And then all the team jumped off the coach. Now, if I'd have been a Brighton Hove Albion fan, I would have been, you know, in ecstasy as it was. I was just going, oh, yeah, it's Brighton. They must have a game, a friendly game against Southend down the road. And they were just going into the hotel to have a meal, presumably, before. I do remember once going to a conference, the EMA conference, Evangelical Ministry Assembly Conference in London. And it's a big, big conference, about 3,000 people, but in a group over there was David Suchet, because he reads for Scripture Union, and he'd been invited along to, and he was there, not speaking or anything, just sitting, you know, in the crowd. Kind of a bit of a noise, and sort of everybody starts looking around. Oh, yeah, that's rather off-putting. Poor, you know, bad for him, to be honest, but for the speaker, particularly, of the session, most difficult. Well, what do? If you meet somebody like that, my advice is just to sort of don't make a fuss. They're just flesh and blood. And just because you see them, you know, now and again on your TV screen or wherever you see them, it's not nothing more than that. But of course, I asked you, who is the most famous person you've ever met? And, you know, the correct answer, the good answer, the answer the pastor wants to hear is Jesus himself. By God's grace, we've encountered him, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To meet him, to know him, to know he's with us, and not just met him once by accident, but to know he's with us in everything that we go through. That's the wonder of our faith, the wonder of our salvation. Thinking about this crowd on Palm Sunday and how it came together, particularly in John's Gospel, I was very much struck by two phrases that occur in verse 13 and verse 18. In verse 13, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. And then in verse 18, many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. And I read to you the bit before, it was a little bit long-winded, but it told us that, you know, that how it was, the buzz that there was in the city. Will he show? What's going to happen when he does show? And they, as soon as they knew he was there, they went out to meet him. I think it's really only in recent years, and maybe it's a sad reflection on me, but in my Easter understanding, the significance of the raising of Lazarus didn't really connect. But in more recent times, it's an absolute vital part of what's going on. What people have heard and what people have seen of Lazarus has got people talking. Of course it would. Was it last year, the year before? One of the big films out was The Greatest Showman, the story of P.T. Barnum and his circus from the 19th century. And if you know anything about Barnum and his circus, basically he appealed to the inquisitive nature of human nature. He had basically a freak show, we would call it. He drew on, you know, that which people would come and pay money for because they'd never seen it and couldn't see it anywhere else. The bearded lady, for example, or other such things. Well, imagine the Lazarus factor. An event that could not be kept quiet. This man was dead and was now alive. And it was well known he was dead and now he's alive. And so the crowds, we've got to see this. We've got to see this. And so they come to Jesus. As I say, for some perhaps the freak show, it was more the freak show had come to town. Everybody wanted to see the man who'd been dead and now was alive. How strange then that in a week's time they would have the chance to see another man who had conquered death for good, our risen Lord Jesus Christ. But they came to him, it says. They'd all gone up to Jerusalem for the Passover, but they made a deliberate choice, a different path, to come and seek out Jesus, to see where he was. As I say, they asked the question, is he here? In the big crowds that were there for the Passover. And they sought him out. They came firstly because of what they'd heard. They heard that Jesus was there. They came because they'd heard the rumour. Now I read to you from chapter 11 where they were plotting against Jesus. And you can only begin to imagine how hard it must have been. And again, how wonderful that our Saviour went all the way to Calvary with wisdom, not to be arrested at this point, but to go all the way to be the Passover lamb and lay down his life at the appropriate time for you and for me. There were those seeking to arrest him before this, but he didn't get arrested by them at this time. There was a general interest, let's put it this way, in Jesus and what might happen. Some came because of what they'd heard. I guess the 21st century colloquialism would be they were expecting things to kick off. That would be it. We're expecting trouble. It's brewing. Something's going to happen here.
And so people were interested. Yeah, let's go and see Jesus. And Lazarus will be there as well. The freak show. Let's see what he's like. Some today have an interest in Jesus. Perhaps a connection even with the church. But of course it can and it should become much, much more than that. Let's pray that it does so for the wider church this Easter time. Others had followed developments more closely. They came to see for themselves, it says there in verse 18. You know, they'd heard of the miraculous sign and they went out to meet him. Many had heard of the miracles he had performed and wanted to see what he would do. Was it true what people had been saying? What a challenge to every believer this is. To all who were once dead in their sins. We're like Lazarus, aren't we? We are walking advertisements for Jesus Christ. Once dead in our sins, made alive in Christ. Is the world looking on going, oh, I want to see. What a difference. Has it made a difference? Has this person changed? What are they like now? Can people see a difference? Some came because they heard a rumbling of what might be happening. Others came to see. You know, Jesus encouraged his followers, didn't he, to come and see. There is a place for reason in Christianity. It's not just all about faith and it doesn't matter what the facts and the everything else is. It's a reasonable faith, as C.S. Lewis calls it. To come and see Jesus with an inquiring mind is a good thing to do. We don't leave our minds outside of this place. But again, inquisitiveness of the mind by faith can become intimacy of the heart. We don't just want to be tickling our minds, we want our hearts to be warmed, our hearts to be changed, our lives, because our hearts are changed, to be different. Some came because of what they'd heard. Some came for themselves to see. But of course, others came to give him praise. And I hope this evening, as we've sung hymns and this morning, and every time we meet together, as we sing hymns of praise, we're not just struggling to get the words to the tune, but actually every line we're bringing from our hearts, you know, because of our experience, because of what the Lord means to us, what the Lord has done for us. They shouted and they waved their palm branches. They acknowledged Jesus as the one in whom they saw hope. Let's start there. But Hosanna, save us, was the cry. That's a good worship word, isn't it, Hosanna? I know we only sing it this time of year, but could sing it the rest of the year. Save us. Save us from our sins. That's how the Christian life begins. But save us from ourselves. Save us from a worldly spirit. Save us from everything that would do damage to our faith and our life with you, Lord. Save us. You who come in the name of the Lord. You know, put in a modern term, well, you're heaven sent to save us. In the name of the Lord, you're the perfect one. And indeed he is the perfect one, sent to save us. You're the King of Israel, our long-awaited Messiah. These are just some of the phrases that John picks out, and then the other gospel writers too, of the things that were being shouted out. And the palm branches were waving, symbolic of the victory. Of the one expected victory. There was hope as Jesus rode into town. They willingly laid things before the king, didn't they? Their cloaks and branches went down before the colt, the foal of the donkey. And Jesus rode over these things. Thinking about that, just the picture, you get the picture in your mind's eye of how it must have been. The crowds, so vast, and the colts and the donkey and Jesus upon it, slowly processing through the streets and everything being laid in front and walking over. You know, when you recognize that Jesus is King, when you live to praise Him, it needs the same self-surrender, doesn't it? Putting everything down in front of Him. Who you are, what you have, what you'll do, laying it all before Him. And there were those who cried out these things with real heartfelt faith. And the excitement of what was happening. You know, so often Jesus' ministry was in quiet places and hidden away almost. But now it had all gone public. Fever pitch. And we've mentioned before, and it does seem that way, that when you read it through, it seems to be kind of, in the end, a bit of an anticlimax, the journey and the day. But of course, it wasn't. But the fullness of these days ahead of Holy Week begin to be seen and understood. They hadn't been mistaken. They hadn't misread the signs. This indeed was their King. But John is honest in his reflection when he says, you know, we didn't understand. We only realized after. By the Holy Spirit's help, we suddenly realized and pieced it together. We did this. We were part of this. So there in the crowd were those who came because of what they heard. I guess all of us, we came because of what we heard. Somebody told us about Jesus. Whether in a one-to-one conversation or in a big meeting or whatever, but we heard about Jesus. They came because of what others had reported they'd seen. We heard testimony of others. Saw it in people's lives and said, I want that. I want to be like that. And then came the challenge to lay down our all before Him. To give thanks to God, yes, believing on what He has done for us, but to lay down our lives. The crowd is not far away from every crowd, every church, us tonight. We fit in that way, in coming to Jesus. But the key to that day was how not just they came to Him, but how He came to them, of course. They came with different ideas and thoughts. He came with that clear plan and purpose that we heard of this morning. Your King comes to you. He who comes in the name of the Lord. O daughter of Zion, see, your King is coming, as it says here, seated on the donkey's colt. When you think about Jesus' schedule for Holy Week, being in the right place at the right time, it's important to note, isn't it, that Jesus is not a day visitor. He wasn't visiting Jerusalem just putting his toe in the water. He was completely given to what was about to happen. If you were with us last Sunday morning, I spoke about how Jesus led the way as they went up to Jerusalem from Jericho. He led the way with a flint-like determination to face what was ahead of Him with a boldness and a courage like no other. This is our Saviour, this is our Lord. He's no day visitor here. He's not going, oh, this is nice, and then clearing off. He knows what He's about and what He's got to do. Yes, they were here for the feast, but He knew He was the Passover lamb that was to be slain. But He came to us. And He came as King. Your King comes to you. But not riding a war horse, not fierce and ferocious, but fulfilling that prophecy in Zechariah. The unique King. As I say, you had to look through the crowds to see Him. He wouldn't be lifted up. If He was on a big war horse, he would be up here. But on a colt of a donkey, He would be down there. And again, we just see he's sovereign. He's in control. Control of the donkey, control of what's going on in this. But he comes, yes, with authority. But he comes to serve, and there is a gentleness in the way he rides into the city. As I say, how difficult it would have been to see Jesus, if you think about it. This certainly was no look at me, everybody, procession. This was just him in a gentle, controlled way, riding on to fulfill the purposes that he'd been sent to do. The wonder, the humility of our Saviour, our Lord, our King. He comes as sovereign, he comes to serve, he comes to save. What wonderful words. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. Your King is coming. Bringing peace. Bringing the means to peace through his sacrifice for our sins. Not coming to take over and destroy Rome, but coming to take on Satan and bring victory and bring liberty from such an enemy. Eternal victory. That's what he's riding towards. But in the words that John records of what the crowds shouted, interestingly, he picks on this expression, "Blessed is the King of Israel." And in the bit I read to you from chapter 11, you may have noticed there the whole Jewishness of that chapter about Caiaphas and the nation and what's going to go on and the importance of and significance of that. But he goes beyond the Jews to the Gentiles. First for the Jews, certainly, but then for the Gentiles. And that's why I read on, because the Greeks then arrive and want an audience with Jesus themselves. God-fearing Greeks who were there at the Passover, but by definition as Gentiles would be on the outside. And then it was then that Jesus said, "The hour has come." It was then that the bell rang, as it were, for the time for Jesus to go to the cross. Because he came to us, for us, and he came for all of us, Jew and Gentile alike. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The kernel of wheat will die, but many seeds will result from it. Jew and Gentile. What a plan of salvation this is. What a Saviour we have. And in those verses in chapter 11, "And not only for the nation, but also the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one." There is a big word. I was speaking on Tuesday night. I used four big words at the church meeting. Apologies for that. It was a bit of a sugar overdose because we picked all those words of redemption and atonement and everything else. Just one big word tonight. Reconciliation. You know what that means, a bringing together. Reconciliation. And we have it here in what Jesus came to do. He came to reconcile man to God. Romans 5, "We were reconciled to him through the death of his Son." He came to enable man and God to be brought together once more for all time, even though we were at this stage enemies of God. Such is the amazing grace of God to reconcile us, to bring us together through the sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary. But when you read on in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he talks about reconciling Jew and Gentile in the one body in Christ, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. There's something far bigger going on at Calvary. This once for all sacrifice for the sins of the world. God's love for the world in sending His Son. He came to enable all mankind to know peace with God and peace from God, even among the differing cultures, through a shared faith in Jesus Christ. Please note that. I'm not proclaiming some sort of, one size fits all. But through Christ, the church is built from every nation, tribe and tongue. There's reconciliation between Jew and Gentile. All one in Christ. In a broken world, in a divided world, in a divided community, we have a message of reconciliation. First to God for people, but through that to one another in Christ. Paul says that to the Corinthians. Yes, to the Corinthians of all churches. They needed to remember it because they kept falling out with each other. But all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So the preacher has the job of proclaiming the message of the gospel, so that man, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, can be reconciled, can be brought together with God. But even if you're not a preacher, even as you just witness to a neighbor, talk and share your faith, that reconciliation can take place. And then that binds hearts and lives together in Christ. A wonderful work all through what our Savior went through at Calvary. They came to Him, but of course, first of all, He'd come to them. And He'd come to all of them, the Jew and for the Gentile. Which includes you and me this evening in this place through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my time is gone, but let me just simply tie up a few loose ends by asking a few questions. Where are you on this Palm Sunday? Where are you in the crowd? Have you laid everything down before Him? Have you recognized Him? He is your King. Or are you perhaps still looking? You hear others talk of how wonderful He is. You hear people say, well, He's done this for me, but you're not quite there yet. Can I encourage you to keep your eyes upon Him? Look to Him this Easter time. See exactly where He goes, see exactly what He does, and how He does it for you, that you might be forgiven and reconciled to God through Him. You know, it is possible to be on just in church life, to be fascinated, but not to apply faith, not make it personal. It's possible to have all the information, but have it just in your head and not in your hearts. Have you laid your all before Him? We sang this morning hymn 1000, and within that it says, doesn't it, Your Majesty, I can but bow. I lay my all before You now. I live to serve Your Majesty. I think that's what the Lord is saying to us on this Palm Sunday. You know, don't just look on in the crowd, but lay down your life before Me, your troubles, problems, everything, all that you are. Let Me be King. Let Me walk that way and take you where You want Me to take you to. He came to you. He came into this world to save us. He came that we might then be able to come to Him, and we can come to Him, not just tonight, but wherever we are. And He came also that we might come together through Him. There is that aspect of the Christian faith that if we're not careful, we lose it a little bit, because we live in a world where it's all about the individual. It's not about community anymore, is it? But we are a community. We are a Christian community through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are brought together in a way that nothing else brings people together on this planet. By the Spirit of God in our hearts, united in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know reconciliation with God? Do you know for sure your sins forgiven and that things are right between you and God? Do you know reconciliation with one another because of Jesus? Because surely anything else is not the way it should be. We let the Lord down if we are divided in any way. Are you serious about making the way of reconciliation known to others? Well, we can start by giving a few invitations out to people that they might come and hear of the one who laid down his life for them. The one whose love is beyond measure. The one who gives peace beyond measure. But the one who unites and brings people together. Because our broken world needs to know our Saviour and needs that healing that He alone can bring. Palm Sunday, what a week we have ahead of us. We're going to sing, what else could we sing? That hymn that we sang this morning as well. Ride on in majesty. It's one of those hymns you could only sing this Sunday, so we have to make the most of it. But what a great hymn it is of what Jesus gave up for us. Nothing would deflect him going all the way. But the victory that he won is ours and ours to share. So, thank you, Lord, that you did come and you came this way for us. You came this way fulfilling that prophecy that we would be sure of who you are, but we are sure of who you are and the victory that you have won. Lord, bless each heart here in this coming week as we think of, yes, your sacrifice, but also your victory over sin and death. And may we live in the light of that victory in our own lives. As we said, we are advertisements for you, Lord, of being made alive in Christ. So may we be, as it were, walking Lazaruses this week for those around to see the difference that you have made to us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you in all its complexities that, Lord, it is very simple that in your love for us, you laid down your life for us. And we are so indebted to you for that. And the impact that that has had and continues to have and will have for all eternity. So continue, Lord, with us. Bless us as we continue to walk with you this week. Be in every service that we hold and every time together. But Lord, be with us too in our own devotions, our own walk this week. And as we come across others, may we again be able to speak of the wonder of Easter. Some perhaps are fed up, they don't understand it, but Lord, may they see in us the joy and the victory and the wonder of what you have done. And may we be able to point them to you, and may they be reconciled to you, as is your desire and longing. So help us, Lord, the evangelists amongst us, but all of us as we seek to witness to neighbours and friends, and bless us and encourage us as we walk with you. Thank you that you are the most famous person we've ever met, and you'll never be surpassed in that. May we continue to meet with you and marvel at what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.